And now, my friends on TalkSport and Talk, time now to dive into an all-too-often overlooked sporting side of Liverpool. It concerns an amazingly historic sporting venue. But the stadium in question is neither red nor blue, so not Anfield or Goodison Park, or even the new Hill Dickinson. And the sport it hosted for over a century wasn't football, but boxing, the sweet science. To tell us more, let's say good morning to Stephen Barr, author of Graveyard of Champions. It's a brilliant read, published by Pitch. Graveyard of Champions, the fascinating story of Liverpool's legendary boxing stadium. And Stephen joins us now. Stephen, it's really the story of two stadiums, isn't it? Tell us about that, please, if you would.
Yeah, the Liverpool Stadium was originally built and in operation in 1911 on Pudsey Street in the commercial, just behind Liverpool Lime Street Station, actually. And that was the main venue called the Liverpool Stadium up until 1931 from 1911. And then it was taken over, but the ground was taken over by a cinema, Paramount, and so the stadium was demolished and a new one emerged in St. Paul's Square, which is in the commercial district of Liverpool, just off Tyne Barn Street, nearer to the waterfront. So that one emerged in 1932 and was in operation right through till 1987 when it was demolished, unfortunately.
And it was built, I believe you say in the book, on an old graveyard site. So it was quite literally Graveyard of Champions, but also that metaphorically, because it saw many world champions or, you know, great boxers visit and be almost cowed by the crowd in Liverpool.
Absolutely. In fact, it was the new state, the so-called new stadium that was built, yeah, built on a graveyard. It was part of St. Paul's Church that was in that area. And yes, it earned that name, Graveyard of Champions, before the new stadium. It was a grim epitaph back in the 1911s through to the 1930s, when many champions, British, European, world, would come to the Liverpool Stadium, and many of them were defeated. So it was quite a daunting task, and that was carried on in the new stadium. In fact, on the very opening night of the Liverpool Stadium on St. Paul's Square, three champions actually were defeated on that opening night. So it continued well into the modern era.
Talking to Stephen Barr, author of a brilliant book called Graveyard of Champions, the fascinating story of Liverpool's legendary boxing stadium, published by our friends at Pitch. It's a very handsome volume. It's a paperback, but very handsome. Wonderful illustrations. And that's mainly because, I think, or at least the start of your journey, is you started researching this because of your granddad. Tell us about that, if you will, please. Tell us about Dick Burke, who features quite heavily in the book.
Yes, yes. Well, funnily enough, I wanted to write a book about my grandfather, but I just didn't feel I could pull together enough information to fill the pages of a volume. And so I started researching his career back in the 80s. He was a very modest guy. I mean, these guys never used to talk about their achievements and their feats. And I was talking to him one day in the 80s and came across a couple of photographs. We were just going through.
But he had no scrapbooks. His scrapbooks he'd given or lent to people, and they'd never returned them, had they?
Yes, his silverware had gone, his scrapbooks he loaned out to friends and family, and he never got them back. So I thought, damn, I'm going to try and do something about this. So I had a list of all his fights and venues, and I went down to the British newspaper library in Colindale in London, and actually pulled together a scrapbook for him and presented it to him as a Christmas gift in 1986.
So 40 years
thrilled.
Ago this year then, Stephen, 40 years ago this year you gave him that.
Absolutely. And all those newspapers were then digitized over the years. So I now subscribe to the British National Newspaper Archive. So I was able to build up a lot more information, and I had so much data, documents, reports, I decided I needed to do something with it. And because he spoke so fondly of the Liverpool Stadium and the fights he had there, I thought that would be a good vehicle to include my grandfather, but also a lot of other great Liverpool boxers, and hopefully to do them justice and to keep their feats alive.
Well, you certainly have done that. And one of the things that emerges from your book, and you talk about this, you know, you touch on it quite a lot, but is the sheer number of fights some of these guys had, and how then, as with your granddad, it was a way of chopping up your income. It was an escape route for working class young men, youths, and whatever.
It was.
And he then goes into, for a while, fairground boxing booths. Now, I'm old enough to remember seeing these on a place called Wanstead Flats in East London when I was a kid. And these were guys, sometimes in their 50s or 60s. He was lucky that he didn't come away with very serious injuries. I think the Second World War saved your granddad, didn't it?
Well, it did. And to be honest, he had 72 fights in four years,
God
which was,
dear.
you know, phenomenal number. And he wasn't alone in that. A lot of boxers went through the same. And unfortunately, that was the end of his career. He suffered paralysis in his last fight. He was in hospital for days. He lost consciousness, and he was told he had to retire at the young age of 21.
But then
And
he goes into the fairground booths.
well, exactly, because he tried to find work, and he had two young children, one of whom was my mother, Maureen, and he had to find a way to provide for them. And I found reports. He never told me this, but I found reports in the Daily Mirror that he'd started fighting in the boxing booths. And his brother actually told me, and it was quite ironic, he said, "Funnily enough, Steve, that the war probably saved his life, because he was able to join up and became a sergeant PTI in the Royal Air Force, and he remained there for the rest of his career. But if that hadn't have, ironically, if the war hadn't have broken out, he'd have probably stayed trying to fight and earn money in the boxing rings, and would have probably died in.
Elements
It
of the
was a
book,
tough sport."
the photographs in the book are amazing, Stephen. It's a brilliant read, this, folks. Even the front
Thank
cover
you.
looks like something from Peaky Blinders when they're always at boxing matches or whatever. And there's a photograph of your granddad squaring up in Sheffield to a fighter called Panama Al Brown, I think his name was. But there's
It
also a
was, yeah.
fighter, and again, it kind of builds on the damage these fights could do. I'm reading the book, and I come across a fighter with almost one of those kind of names that means he's got to become a boxer. I think he's Welsh, Johnny Basham. And then he gets
Yes.
involved in an absolutely tragic death in the ring. It's a terrifying story, that one.
Yeah, that's right. And he was obviously mortified himself. He didn't know anything about it. He knocked the opponent. He was a South African
Yeah.
boxer, and they had to attend to him in the ring, and unfortunately he passed away. And Johnny Basham was taken to court, and the powers that be had to come together to try and defend him, as it was purely an accident. There was no foul deeds at all. It was the
Yeah.
fight was stopped in normal time, and unfortunately it was just one of those things. He'd probably done the same as my granddad, been in so many fights in quick succession, and these things build up, and unfortunately this South African chap died.
Now, the chap that your granddad's photograph facing up against in Sheffield in the early 30s, Panama Al Brown, is a black fighter. And you talk a bit about the kind of racism that was then, you know, very much swirling around more in our society, hopefully, than now. But even so, that's something that featured in the book, because it seems as if there was like a following for some fighters, and also this notion of them becoming either, you know, superheroes or supervillains in some cases.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a new thing to me. It was one of the things that surprised me when I was doing my research, was that coloured boxers weren't allowed to fight for British or world titles
No.
back in the early days. And you know, I do cover this briefly. I didn't want the book to be a social report. I wanted to touch on it because the
Sure.
background is important. But yeah, people like Panama Brown, he was able to win a world title. But in Britain, coloured boxers right up till 1947, from 1911, I think, were not allowed to contend for British titles. They could fight for empire titles and
Yeah.
national titles, but they weren't allowed to compete at the British level, which was was an injustice because some of these boxers were fantastic
Yeah.
and they never got to realize their ambitions and of what their skills merited.
And you mentioned in the book that Anfield for a while is also a boxing a venue for big boxing bouts. But then you say the Pudsey Street, when Pudsey Street closed and St Paul's Square, for a while in the '70s it hosted some big rock gigs, including the likes of, I think, Bowie, Pink Floyd, Mott the Hoople, Thin Lizzy and Lou Reed, you write in the book. So it's very much
Yes,
part, you know,
well,
it was very much part of the fabric of Liverpool, of the community then.
it was the stadium was not just the boxing arena. It hosted wrestling from the 1930s. Then, in the 50s, you had the likes of Louis Armstrong
Yeah.
perform there as a music venue. And then in the 60s, before the Beatles were famous, they performed there with Jerry and the Pacemakers, and it really came into its element in the 70s. I remember I was in Liverpool then, I was a teenager, and we all used to go to the stadium, not to watch wrestling or boxing, but for the great rock concerts that were staged there. And it was a major venue in that area for quite some years.
Now, the fall to the. I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, and then it became a bit of a bed for activism, because a lot of the industrial unrest in the 80s in Liverpool, often meetings, Ford workers and dockers would often have meetings at the Liverpool Stadium during a very active time for activism in Liverpool.
Now, the book, which is called Graveyard of Champions, published by Pitch, it's our TalkSport and Talk Book of the Week. Brilliant read by Stephen Barr. The fascinating story of Liverpool's legendary boxing stadium has a foreword by John Conte, MBE, who is pretty much my favourite boxer of all time. Light heavyweight world champion, an amazing fighter, very glamorous figure back in the day as well. And
He
you write
was.
about him in the book as well. How did that connection come about? Did you write to him out of the blue? How did he agree to do this for you? Because he's quite a private person, Conte, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the most fantastic person, and I've got to say this. I went to the unveiling of a commemorative stone. A guy called Terry Kavanagh was the driving force behind the installation of a commemorative stone in St Paul's Square, because up until last year, there was absolutely nothing to show that there'd ever been this iconic arena in Liverpool. And Terry was the driving force by coming up with this idea to put in a commemorative stone. And John Conte kindly agreed to open it, to unveil it. And I was invited to come over from the States. And as soon as I got the chance, I went over to John and barged my way in and said, "John, I'm writing this book on the Liverpool Stadium. I'd love it if you would write the foreword." And I mean, he just gave me the time of day. He said, "Yeah, no problems. Yeah, let's get in touch later." And he was true to his word. He called me up one day, soon after I'd got back to the States, and I was expecting a brief conversation. An hour later, we're still talking on the phone. He was
Oh, great.
just a delight, you know. In fact, I was late for a doctor's appointment, but the last thing I was going to do was say, "John, I've got to go." I just let him carry on
Yeah,
talking.
as
He
you would
was
to the former
he
light
was a
heavyweight champ, an
delight.
amazing boxer. In fact, this is how it was. This
He
is what he
was.
writes in the foreword. I'll end my conversation with Stephen Barr, who's been a great guest, with this quote from the foreword by John Conte, MBE, former light heavyweight champion of the world. He writes, "For me, the stadium was more than just a venue. It was a classroom, a proving ground, a second home. If you could succeed at Liverpool Stadium, you could succeed anywhere in the world." Well, this book succeeds in bringing all that back. It's called Graveyard of Champions by Stephen Barr, with a foreword by John Conte, MBE. The brilliant story, fascinating story of Liverpool's legendary boxing stadium, published by Pitch. And you have that conversation with me and Stephen Barr right here on Talk Sport and Talk, where we're live till 5 seconds out.